at outreach and talking about evangelism. And this message, I guess if I was going to title it, I did title it, Before All Else. Before we talk about or think about anything else in regards to evangelism and outreach, and how it is that we might seek to, as a church, in some of the things that we do, individuals throughout the course of our daily lives, just share the gospel and proclaim that to people. Where do we begin, and what can we do? And we may talk a little bit about the theology of evangelism, but to look at that and say, as we begin, I was going to ask you, before all else, what? Anybody want to answer that question? Before all else, I heard it all over just the emphasis upon prayer, and to look at that, our outreach emphasis, and just praying about, outreach, praying for lost people, praying for those that we know need to know the Lord, because we realize there is a necessity of prayer for evangelism. And we get that and understand at the beginning, just even the fact that assistance is required, first of all, in the request for open hearts. That God would open the hearts of people and reveal to them the truths of His Word, that they might be able to understand. You don't have to go too far. Maybe you've explained to different people and just talked about the gospel with them, and you say, "Man, what they're thinking is not right." And you might be sitting there, "How am I supposed to answer that?" So I'm going to show them a Bible verse. They don't believe in the Bible. All right, now what do I do? And to look at that, and we look at those things and why it is that prayer is so important, it's because it's God the one that works in hearts. God is the one who changes people. God's the one who brings the light of His Word to their hearts, that they might be able to believe and they might be able to understand. And so if we go in and say, I've studied, I've read everything I can possibly read, I've got this plan that I think is foolproof, well, you prove that it's not foolproof, because you'd be a fool and you'd mess it up. To realize prayer, that we are ready for these things. And we see that in just the importance of God opening hearts. So a few verses. If you want to go to Romans chapter 8, that's where we're going to end up and maybe spend most of our time for you to read. I'm just going to read a couple verses leading up to in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, where it talks about Lydia. And even just talking about her conversion, it's a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." But that idea that the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. Another verse, pretty familiar, John chapter 6, verse 44. And we understand that no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. I will raise him up on the last day. That's important too, as we look at about the work of God and the sovereignty of God, just to realize no one can come to me. And then it also talks about, I will raise him up on the last day. Throughout all of time, from the beginning to the end of time, God has a plan of salvation. And He works it out in people's hearts, and people do not figure it out on their own. Just, I don't know, one day I was just sitting out there and it came to me. And we don't figure those things out. We don't reason it out with our logic, with man's wisdom, but no one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then we do go to Romans chapter 8, and we will look at this together, emphasizing that it is the work of God in our lives, and not a work of our own. Beginning in verse 26, And we'll read all the way down through verse 30. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we will know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And these whom He called, He also justified. And these whom He justified, He also glorified. And we'll keep going in verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? You know, so we look at that and just consider those things, kind of try to emphasize the pronouns there. And the pronoun that was emphasized was the word He. He does. And we realize, as even as we talk about sanctifying, and boy, we may labor and strive to be sanctified, to be holy in our living. We understand that's something we strive to do, but yet He is the one who is changing us. And we know we cannot justify ourselves, because we understand even our weakness. We talk about before we're even justified, it says here, hey, we do not know how to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And we can look at ourselves as believers, and we know what kind of weakness and struggle we have, even if we're walking in the light. For those who are walking in darkness, what hope is there that they would understand the truth unless God opens up their hearts and changes them and illumines them? Even the verses, for once you walked in darkness. You know what God has shown to us, given us a great light that we might be able to see and believe and understand His truth. So as we look at that, you know, of all the things that we can do as we're looking at people that we see, somebody that we sit down and talk to. Last night we were just at an Otters game, and the guy told me all about his daughter playing hockey, and we just talked a little bit, and realizing, I don't know, what the Lord's intent is for all of those conversations. And we're not here saying, well, you ought to, you know, do this and do this and do this, and every single time say, hello, my name is here. You know, why are you at a hockey game? Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. But yet to realize, even sitting there next to somebody when you go to the grocery store, those, Lord, I pray for these people that maybe we have contact with, and just that He would work in their hearts, He would change their lives, and He would save them. I've got a list. I still have the list on my desk one Wednesday night. It was Pastor John talking about prayer. I think it was a study on prayer is what it was. And we talked about praying for people who were lost. And a list of about 30 names of people. Maybe some of you remember them, those who gave those names. You remember those people. And the emphasis, we need to pray for them, because we understand that, you know, I'm not going to convince them unless God opens up their heart, no matter how persuasive I am. And if I, by being persuasive and convincing, can get them to say something that they need to say and their heart isn't changed, I haven't done them any favors. They'd be better off completely lost than thinking that because they responded simply by word without a change of heart to anything that I said, that things are good for them. So realize the importance of prayer. Because it is God who is going to do the work. He's the only one who can save. He's the only one who can change a heart. He's the one who justifies. He's the one who sanctifies. He's the one that keeps us. He's the one who will glorify us. And salvation is all of God. And so for us to think about sharing that message of salvation, the message of the gospel, doing the work of evangelism without being diligent in prayer, we're relying too much on our own strength and not enough on His. Even maybe thinking that we can do things that His Word tells us we cannot do because it's His work and only His work to do. So we'll pray now, and then we'll sing three more songs just about the glory of Christ and our response, understanding what He's done in our hearts, even just through the message of the gospel to redeem us. And then we'll talk about two other aspects of praying, just as we think about the idea of outreach and evangelism. But God, we thank You for Your great and Your wonderful work of salvation. Lord, as we talk and as we pray, we understand just how depraved people can be. We understand the depth of sin, Lord, and its grip on the hearts of those who do not know You. Lord, we know how hard a struggle it is sometimes for us to deal with those sins that just remain in our lives. And Lord, we just pray for those that we know who are lost, that You would work in their hearts. Reveal to them the sinfulness that is there. And Lord, we would pray as we look ahead at what we're going to look at next, just how we might be prepared and ready to speak when the opportunities would arise. For we know Your truth. And Lord, it excites us and gives us hope and gives us joy. And Lord, we would long to share that with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would stand, please. We'll be singing Victory in Jesus, All Glory Be to Christ. And then my heart is filled with thankfulness just as we just think a little bit more about the work that Christ does in saving souls. 8:12. Oh, it came up as Rock of Ages. I know why that happened. It happened once in practice this morning. And Caleb can fix it in just a minute. He's good. But they're working on it even right now. But we will sing it. Some of you know the first verse anyway. We'll read it. Now if you take your turn to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, the first thing we realize, like you said, when we're praying, is we are praying that God will work in hearts. There will be open hearts. That people will receive His word, that people will see the truth, and that people will believe, because that's the work that He does. And here in Colossians chapter 4, we see two more things. Maybe I'll ask you, just even as we read this, it talks about devoting, we'll start in verse 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. And we'll talk a little bit more maybe later in months to go, of even some of the rest of this. But when we think about prayer, and it talks about an attitude of prayer, maybe just if you could say a few adjectives and words that maybe come to your mind, I think an attitude of prayer is or has this character quality to it. Any thoughts or ideas? Humility? Thankfulness. I want to say prayer is a party. We rejoice and celebrate that we can, but confession? Watchfulness? Faith? Oops. Dependence. Tammy? All right, relational. Drawing near. What's that again?
Did someone say praise?
No. Good. 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 All of those things. And I think even as we look at all those things and it ties in, even the words I was thinking of, boy, it talks about fervent prayer. In here it talks about being devoted to prayer. And some of the things I've even been reading about prayer. I mean, sometimes there are people that encourage us to pray that, man, I don't think I can do that. Even to the point maybe we're tempted to ask, man, I can't be a very good prayer because there aren't holes worn in my carpet where I kneel every day. You know, that I get up. I don't start at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I can get a good 3 hours of prayer in before I do anything else this day. Now, there, as you read biographies and hear about some of the men and women who prayed and prayed and prayed and they prayed and they were devoted to prayer. So you just want to be careful to say, well, if I don't do that, then I must not be very devoted. That's not true. And that's not what we're saying. Now, if that's something you believe that you ought to be striving towards and do, I'd encourage you. I mean, work towards that. But I think in here, even more, just the fervent prayer, the devotedness to prayer, you know, even, you know, we look at that watchfulness just to say, you know, I pray with intention. And I pray with real purpose. I pray with my mind. I pray with my heart that I express to God the things that I desire for Him to do, whether it be for me or just through me and with me as I would labor and as I would work. And so we see that first part there, devote yourselves to prayer, being alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. Just as it gives us an idea more that, yeah, I'll pray about it if I think about it. Or I'll pray when it comes to mind. It's the idea of saying, I have an intention to make this come to my mind because it is a burden in my heart for those things. And we see, even Paul, as he expresses it here in just the requests that he have, and particularly as it talks about outreach. Praying for the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the word, that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. And just even thinking about that, you know, opportunities that we might have, and even thinking, I'm going to pray that God will open doors of opportunity with the church as we go to the community, maybe praying for even as we did the annual report, when people come in here and others have conversations, I'm going to pray there's open doors of opportunity for them to speak forth the mystery of Christ. I'm going to pray that as I go throughout my day, I will have opportunities to speak forth the mysteries of Christ. And I look at Paul, and Paul said, pray this for us. Paul, in my mind, is one of those guys that say, if I don't see a door, I'm making one. You know, it's just going to happen. But even for them to say, you know, there are opportunities, it's maybe even a sign of discernment. So we have conversations, maybe looking at intentionally every conversation I might have with my neighbor. If I go talking about the needs that they have, maybe praying with them. Lord, use all of these things that I might do to create an open door for the mystery of Christ. That I might be able to share these things. And it might not be every conversation we had, like I said, with the guy at the hockey game. You know, every conversation we have may not lend itself to that. But how many conversations do we have that we think, you know what, maybe I could have? There might have been, but we weren't prepared. Maybe we haven't been praying for those opportunities. And if we're not praying for them, maybe we're not looking for them. But when we pray, we expect that God is going to answer. So we say, God, I want you to do this. And if I ask others to pray for me and I'm praying for it, I'm expecting He's going to answer. And when He does, then in verse 4, I want to make it clear. I want it to be clear the way I ought to speak. And that's the other one. We would request for open doors, that there would be opportunities for us. But then, you know, a request for open mouths. You know, that we would speak. There would be that boldness to share with others. That as we talk about the gospel, As we talk about our great God, we talk about our great Redeemer and sing His praise and His glory, be able to say, it's clear. This is who He is. This is what He's done. And again, to realize even in that, I open my mouth and I just share those things as the Lord would give opportunity. Even as we look at, I was going to maybe even turn to John. He says, but the Spirit who shows them what to speak, to proclaim His truth, calling all things into remembrance, that whatever they say would be fit for the moment, and whatever they say in that moment would proclaim Christ. And again, I think we've shared before, just if you read the book of Acts, every situation they get in, so many times it ends up with a sermon. This is what you're doing to me. This is what's happening around us. This is who Jesus Christ is. The things you're doing to me, it's the same things you did to Him. You've missed the point. And there's ways, and we may talk about that even in the future, how to maybe open up some of those conversations. But the big thing is that I might be clear. So as we think, as we pray, Lord, open up hearts to hear Your truth. Open up doors that we might be able to speak forth the mystery of Christ. And Lord, just pray for us that as those doors open, we are ready. We understand clearly what the gospel is. We understand how the gospel applies to my life every day. We can look at different things and current events and conversations that we have with people. Sometimes we look and say, what does the Word of God have to say about that? Well, I never thought about it. It might be good for us to think about that. Just even when things come up in the news, to say, well, what are some biblical principles that go along with what I see happening in the world? Well, now I've prepared myself to think rightly, and now that I'm thinking rightly, somebody asks me, what do you think? This is what I think. Lord, did you come up with that? I came up with that from what I've learned from what the Word of God teaches. And that's maybe like Paul making doors. But realizing God opens that. He gives us those opportunities, and then He is the one that helps us to be able to speak clearly and to understand and with gentleness and with compassion. And that gets down to, you know, verses 5 and 6, with wisdom, with grace, seasoned as with salt, so that we might respond. And that idea there, just for us to really begin as we take this emphasis on the second Sunday night of each month, to think about outreach and how we might do that as a church in our community. What that looks like when people come to Vacation Bible School and to elections. What that looks like when they come to the fall festival. What that looks like when I'm just out there interacting with people. When we go down to the city mission and some of those things as well. What is it that we're striving to do? Lord, open up some doors. We may talk and talk and talk and talk, and maybe the door doesn't open. But boy, when it's there, I want to be clear. And I want to be ready. And so that God also requests for open mouths. That we would be bold and willing to speak. Prepared to speak. Because we know what God's Word says. We understand how it applies in our situations of life. When somebody comes to us with problems in theirs, to say, well, this is what I do and this is why. And we need that. That's God at work. He opens hearts. He might bring about questions that open some doors for us. And again, if we're not walking with the Spirit, and if He's not working in us and helping us, there's a good chance we'll stand there. It removes fear. At least most of it. And the nervousness, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? So, well, I'm trusting God to help me do those things. And so just to encourage you, as we think about outreach, to make that a request this year. That God will give us a heart for the lost. God will open doors. And actually, the assignment I have here is asking God to show you three people that we could maybe share Christ with. You might have a bunch of meetings with them and the door is not open. Well, then you keep praying for an open door. Just keep building a relationship. And so that we'd be able to share with them. So some things to think about. And I'm actually just going to have you, just as groups here, as we finish up talking about the importance of prayer, maybe find a couple of people that you could pray with even tonight. And if you've got three people, one person, that would be great. Pray for each other and pray for those people. But together ask that God would just give us a heart for the lost. Pray that God would open doors. And then if you've got some names in particular, to just go ahead and share those with others. And when you're done praying, we'll just dismiss and call it a night. Just be sensitive to others that are on the mic, could be continuing to pray. And or maybe better yet, change of plans. You can pray, and then about with 2 or 3 minutes to go, I'll just come up and close us in prayer, and we'll be dismissed, and that will have a firm set ending time for everybody. That if you get kids from the nursery, how am I going to keep them penned up so they don't bother people either? That we will all be done at the same time. So you find some people to pray with, just ask God for open doors, give us a heart for the lost, and if you've got a name or two, pray for each other in that regard too.